We're up to Perichov Hey, Pasik. Pasuk Tezayin. I just want to mention one last Maimon Chazal and Pasuk Tezvav. Let's just go back for one moment to Pasuk Tezvav, where it says, "Ba'oyrach apayim yifute kotzin v'loshon raka tishbar garem." With patience, a kotzin, a leader, can be appeased, can be enticed. Yifute here really means, in this context, he can calm down. We can cool him down from his anger, and with a soft expression, tishbor gorem, the essence of the matter can be put to rest. There's a very interesting chazal in reference to Ashmedai. Ashmedai was the chief of the demons, the king of all the Shadim. And the Gemara tells us a fascinating story that in the time when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, he needed this worm called the Shamir. The halacha is you're not allowed to build the stones of the Mizbeach, and you're not allowed to, different parts of the Mikdash cannot be used, the iron barzel, or sonif aleihem barzel. And there is this little creature called the Shamir, and the Shamir has the koyach through, it's not exactly clear how this, if this is supernatural, or this is something that is scientific, this is something which is for real, we're not really familiar exactly how this thing works, that has the koyach to break and to cut stone. And the Gemara there discusses the story where Shlomo HaMelech he asked Ashmedai to assist him in finding this very rare worm, the Shamir. I'm reading Pasuk Chaf of Tezvav. Going back to Pasuk Tezvav, Perik Chaf Hei Pasuk Tezvav. So it says that he found this creature, Ashmedai, and I asked Ashmedai, where is this? Ashmedai, I'll tell you where it is. It's not local. We have to do a lot of traveling to reach its location. And as they were traveling, Ashmedai, who's a wild creature, he brought havoc upon every. Maybe you turn it around. Maybe because again, there's feedback. Mr. Morales, maybe turn them. Mr. Morales, maybe turn all the way around. Turn all the way around. And you'll hear it still. Keep it going. All the way. 180 degrees, right. And just make it a little bit louder. This way it takes away the feedback. No, it's good. Are you here? Is it okay now? You came here? Is it better now? Okay, alright. Okay, alright. So this creature, Ashmedai, as they were traveling to the location where they would find the Shamir, it brought havoc. He destroyed mountains, he destroyed property, he did a lot of damage, a lot of harm as they traveled. And they came to one kuva. Kuva is like a hut or some type of a tent, and it was owned by an almana, a widow. And the widow saw that Ashmedai was traveling with Shlomo HaMelech, and Ashmedai was bringing havoc wherever he stepped. And she came out to Ashmedai, and she begged him, "Please, don't destroy my house. As you pass through this location, have rachmanis on me. I'm an almana. I don't have very much. Don't destroy my house." She spoke to him quietly and softly. So Ashmedai said, "Okay. I'll be careful." And as he passed, he bent down underneath the awning in order not to destroy her property. And in the process, he broke his back. Ashmedai broke a bone. I'll read you the word. Mesechta Gittin, Gemara. Gemara daf selgin daf samach samaches. Mota gade kuva dahi ar milosa. When Ashmedai reached the hut of this widow, Nofka, she came out. She begged him, "Please, don't destroy my house. I know you're a violent, ferocious creature, and as you pass, you leave destruction in your wake." So he listened. Kofa, he bent down. Kofa likomise, he bent his height, he bent down. Likomisa mine, before her. Itbar be garma, and he broke his back. He broke a bone in his body. So here we have the mighty, ferocious, all-powerful creature called Ashmedai, and here a little simple almana, a harmless woman, asks him very softly. She speaks to him, "Bederech Raka, please, Lashon Raka, don't destroy my house." He listens, he bends down, and in the process, he hurts himself. He breaks the bone. And the Gemara comments, "Hainu d'sib." Now you know what it means in the pasuk. Well, Lashon Raka, Tishbar Garim. Garim literally means bone. And through a soft expression, you have the ability to break someone's bone. So it's an interesting idea that you can even speak to the most powerful, the most ferocious people. If you know how to talk to people who have power, you know the right thing what to say, speak gently and quietly, and the right thing, you can subdue even the most mighty people in this world.
If you get the right vibration.
The right vibration?
Yeah, sound vibration.
You have to know how to speak to people. Look, that was a nochash. Nochash represents the ultimate evil in the world. Correct? Nochash hakad mayni. It brought death. It brought death to this world. And how does a person speak to a nochash? You whisper. Lachash, a charmer, he whispers, he knows how to talk to Nochash to prevent the Nochash from killing, from bringing harm into this world. That speaks volumes. That itself sees that you see this concept that a Loshen Rako has the koyach to subdue even the most dangerous creatures in this world. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk as well. Dvash motsoso echol dayeko. If you come across honey, if you find honey, eat dayeko, eat enough. In other words, eat, we'll see in this moment, eat just a small amount. Too much honey is not good. Dayeka, just enough to be satisfied. Pentispoenu, if you eat too much honey, if you're satisfied, vahake, so you will vomit out everything that you have eaten. So it's warning us over here in this pasuk that too much of a good thing is not good. Too much, everything has to, this world has to be eaten and consumed in moderation. Mitzudos stavet pasuk tazayin, dvash, kamo imotsos dvash meharoihu, if a person finds honey that's fitting, shetechel minum at. Don't eat too much, just eat a small amount. Leos, dai lucha, lucha shivnef, if it's just enough honey to restore your spirit. You take a little bit of something sweet will give you koyach. Why? If you eat a lot of honey, to be satisfied, you will vomit out everything and you'll be left with nothing. So, tov me'at bekavana, me'harbeh shlo bekavana. Just a small amount with done in a proper way is better than having a lot, then you'll be left with nothing. If you'll eat a lot of honey, you'll vomit everything, and you'll be left with nothing. Kirashi pasuk to Zion says dvash motzos, you find honey. There is no Rashi, just Dibur Hamaskel. The Goymer, Hoyker Raglecha, it's in the Rashi is leading into pasuk Gizan, so we'll leave Rashi for the next pasuk. Now there is there are a number of midrashim on this pasuk, and. And okay, there is one very popular medrash which we'll discuss right now at length. Let's go to it. This is a Gemara in Masechta Chagiga. Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Dalid Dover Acher. The pasuk says the Tanu Rabbanon Arboha Nichnasu Bapardes. There were four individuals who entered into the paradise. The paradise represents the orchard of Chochmah, where they saw things that were above them, beyond their understanding. So who are the four people? The Elohein, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, who we know it to be is Elisha Ben Avuya, and the Rebbe Akiva. The only one that came out okay was Rebbe Akiva. Now, when the Gemara, we're just using this pasuk to describe one of the four people. The first person was Ben Azai. Ben Azai hatesitz umes. Okay, he took a look at the orchard, he tasted from the fruits of the orchard, it was more than he could bear, and he died. Because, whatever that means, it means whatever this means, according to the Marshal, puts a positive twist on this, is that the dveikus, the love, the intensity of the intensity of coming close to Hashem was so great it caused his neshama to depart. And Olaf HaKosov Omer, concerning Ben Azai, who ate and tasted from the paradise and died, the pasuk says, Yokor Be'enei Hashem Hamoviso LaChasidav. It is Yokor, which means, Yokor means it's kosher. It's painful. It's painful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a tzaddik has to leave this world before his time. And this pasuk was applied to Ben Azai, who died who died before his time, and Adam was the one that never got married. Nafshi choshka b'torah. Nafshi choshka b'torah, and he did not get married. I think some of the first have different interpretation. It's not that he didn't want to get married, is that he couldn't come l'idei koshi, which means that he couldn't bring himself to perform marital relations because he had no taiva. Why did he have no taiva? Because all of his taivas were devoted to Torah. So it doesn't mean that he was the bachar sitting in Beis Medrash and wasn't interested in shidduchim. He would have gotten married. It's just that he was so arangatan, his whole neshama was immersed in Torah. He affected his koyach to have children. And that's why it was very sad that he was unable to get married. Okay, that was Ben Azai. Then we come to Ben Zoma. Here is really what we need to focus on. Heitzitz v'nifka. Ben Zoma was not on the madrega of Ben Azai, was not on the madrega of Rabbi Akiva. Heitzitz. He looked, but he got confused. V'nifka. And we don't know what this means, but it was he was injured. He saw what he should not have seen. He got confused, and he was not. He was no longer 100%. Yeah, right. Seemingly. Yeah, he lost his mind. V'nifka. Now, what is and upon him the pasuk says. Okay, we have to say what it's looking in the Marsha. The Marsha has a quote from the Marsha. Shelo hayushalim kol kach b'malos. Ben Azai ben Zoma was not 100% in the madrigal like the other talmidei chachamim. Uviyishuv hadas ki ben Azai umitoch shehitzitz kedgam hu yosim imash shohi sadaita musugelas lekabel nisbalbulu etzloi hadvodim v'nitrifadaita. That's the real term. Nitrifadaita. He lost his mind. Who picked? I don't know who picked. This is what happened. The Gemara is telling us.
The whole idea was they were
over time. It doesn't necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean they live at the same time. It does not necessarily.
They did not
live like that. Sarugim Malchus. That Sarugim Malchus. They don't live at the same time. They spanned over 100 years. Elish ben Avuya
lived in the time of Rabbi.
Okay, in a Chanami. But the other ones did not necessarily live at the same time. It just means over a period of time, there were four people that entered the paradise. They went. They understood the Sisri Torah. Here is why we're reporting this Siman Mechazal, because when the Gemara talks about Ben Zoma, they apply or we want to describe his matzav. It's this specific pasuk that we just mentioned right now. That's what the Gemara Chayyim says. The Olav concerning the tragedy of Ben Zoma by entering the paradise of Nifka, Olav HaKosuf Omer Devash Motzasa. If you find honey, Torah is called Vash, the Chol of Tachas L'Sharneich, Dayeka, Echol Dayeka. Just eat a small amount. Don't eat too much. Pentis Boenu, maybe you'll attempt to satisfy yourself like what Ben Zoma did. He did attempt to satisfy himself by eating and enjoying the paradise. Faha Keso, and you'll vomit. And here, Vakeso, according to the Gemara, is interpreted to mean nitrifadaitai. He lost his mind. He lost his mind because it was too much. Okay, so that's what the Gemara, everything has to be taken, everything life has to be taken in moderation. But over here, he quotes over here from one of the Mepharshim, Kemo Dvash, Hu Masuk, Shema Asher B'Macholim, it's the sweetest, Im Yoymar, Im Yoychal, Menum B'mida Horuya, Yispa Dvash, Oysa V'Yervlo, be good. Avim Yarbalechel, Menu Yosem, Me'amida Horoy, Loi Daish Lo Yervlo, Elo Od Yigam Lo Lehakiyas, Kol Mashachal, but Chilak, Rashi says that even a little bit that which you do have, you'll have to little vomit out if you take too much. Okay, that's what happened to Ben Azai. And then we have over here, then the other two, the Gemara goes on, Rabbi Akiva, he was Yotza B'Sholim. Okay, Rabbi Akiva was Yotza b'Sholem Acher. Acher was Elisha ben Avuya. The expression the Gemara uses is Kitzetz b'Netiyos. He cut down the branches. Everything here is a metaphor for a paradise. The paradise, in the paradise, there is sweet fruit, Dvash. And Acher, he cut down the branches. He made a mistake, and he thought there were two Rishuyos. He was confused. He didn't lose his mind, but he made mistakes in understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu. He came up because Kitzetz b'Netiyos Yotza L'Tar B'Sura Shechashav Sheyesh Shtei Rishuyos Umi She'Oseh Tov Eina Oseh Ra V'Kinu Mikatzetz b'Netiyos Mikevon Shnichnas L'Pardes. Since he went to an orchard, so this was what the parish in the Ein Yaakov, the Hakoyse, it's a parish in the Ein Yaakov, and that's why. So we have very interesting.
What does that do with our Pardes, though? I mean, you know, he
sitting in the Baruch Hu. I mean, that's, I think Shah says it, I'm guessing, I assume. That he saw Metatron, who's like the Secretary of State, the head of all the Malachim, and he saw him sitting in
Hashem's kisei.
Figured if he's sitting, he can't be. Who could be sitting next to God? It's got to be another God.
All right. So whatever these things. Well, part is Rosh Hashanah was pshat remesh dursh soid. Represents the totality of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's chokhmah for people. Ben Azai was the term is Ben Azai's term. The Gemara's term is. What was that term we used?
Hates it's vomes.
Right, hates vomes. That's all it says. Hates it, he gaze vomes. Then Zoma was Nifka. And Alisha ben Avuya kitzet spinitiyos. Rabbi Akiva was Yotza B'Sholem. It's very, Chazal, very concise. The terms they use are very short, concise, short and sweet words, which codes, which really capture the essence. And the point we want to make is that the Pasuk, when the Gemara elaborates on Ben Zoma, it's this very Pasuk. Echol Dayeko, when it comes to things that are sweet, that are intense, just a little bit. Pentes Be'enu Vaha Keso, and we'll vomit out. Okay, this woman, Mama Chazal, this is a Medrash in Tehillim, and over here when it says, this is a very controversial idea that I found is very interesting, is that should a person engage in limudei chol, philosophy, things that are not Torahic. It is very going by yeshiva. So you go to college and major in philosophy. Is there value for a ben Torah to spend time studying secular subjects for the purpose of just for intellectual stimulation? We're not talking about Rav Shamshon Folhersh, Torah Derech Eretz. Okay, this Torah Derech Eretz, when you learn, you have to make a parnassah, so you have to go to college, you have to have a degree, you have to know what's going on in the world. Okay, well, da, mal lohoshev liapikoris. I'm studying this, I'm studying secular subjects for the purpose of knowing how to respond and dealing with apikorisim. We're not talking about that. We're talking about studying philosophy or chokhmas ha'olam just for the purpose of intellectual stimulation. So there are two different sides to the debate. I mean, so there are contradictions in Chazal. On the one who says in the Pasuk the Gemara says that in Chazal that the only time you're allowed to learn Limudei Chol is a time that's not Yom and not Laila. There is no such thing that's not Yom and not Laila. What? Ben Ashmosh. What's called Ben Ashmosh? So we don't know what Ben Ashmosh. Whatever. Okay. Ben Ashmosh. Whatever. So there it is. That's one line of Chazal. Okay, this was really what the Rambam. The Rambam did engage in philosophy. This was a very big debate, and that's why the Shari Tshuva, that's why there was the burning of the Rambam Svarim. There were people very upset with what the Rambam wrote, because the Rambam did leave the Sephardic Jews. They did engage in studying secular topics just for the purpose of intellectual stimulation. And the people who were more European Jews, they were not very happy with this approach. There's a lot of discussion. But here is a Chazal that is part of the equation. Medrash Tehillim Mizmor Kuf Yutes. It says here, I read the entire thing. You say this pasuk and I see him. I've prevailed upon. Over my enemies, I become wise. What does it mean? What does it mean that Torah is le'olam? So the Medrash says, Shloyasakti, David HaMelech is speaking. David HaMelech is saying that I have become wise, wiser than my enemies. I have greater wisdom than my enemies through your commandments, because it is for me forever. Shloyasakti b'svarim acherim elo ba. David HaMelech says, I was not like the Rambam. I did not study Merin Nevuchim. That's what it says.
He was a shepherd in the field. He didn't have a library.
I didn't study philosophy. So this is again the big debate. You'll find Amar Chazal going both ways. Shaloi osakti b'sforim achirim elo bo. V'zehu le'oilam. Le'oilam means it was my only form of study. Torah was it. Nothing but Torah. My whole world, nothing but Torah. Shetam lo osakti elo bo. V'chein then the Medrash goes further. V'chein Shlomo on there. Shlomo, David's son, also said the same thing. V'yoyser mehena mehema. B'nihi zoher asos from harbi ke'em kates. Shlomo said that you shall make many books of Torah, ein kates, there is no end. It's la'olam, ein kates. The study of Torah is forever. Shalom, and according to the parashah, it says, Shalom lehisyagia elam b'divri Torah v'lo b'sor machem. V'oimer, here comes the part that we need for our discussion. V'oimer, the Medrash in Tehillim says, there's another pasuk that indicates a person should not study secular topics. It says dvash motzosa. If you find dvash, what is dvash according to the Medrash? Philosophy. It's delicious. Philosophy. Limudechol. Whatever these things are. No, I'm sorry. I'm making a mistake. Dvash motzosa. Torah shnim shlo. Oh, by the way, dvash motzosa is Torah. The parish says shnim shlo dvash asoik ba tamid barak ba shim tispo enu. Okay, tispo, and according to this interpretation is, if you're going to try to satisfy yourself with other things, it says if you find divash, Torah is called divash. Dvash v'cholov tachas l'shoinich, echol dayeka. Eat from it enough to be filled with it. Now here's the key. Pen tispoenu. If you try to satisfy yourself with other things, okay, that's how the Medrash learns this pasuk, a different interpretation. If you try to satisfy yourself with other things, not like we learned the pshat, according to the Mitzudos, and if you try to fill your stomach up with honey, take just a little bit of honey. If you take too much honey, you're going to vomit. No, that's not what it says. Take honey and eat as much honey as you want. But don't try to satisfy your neshama with other types of foods. In this context, it means with philosophy and with other forms of chokhmah. Because if you do so, you know what's going to happen? The Torah that you have inside of you will be vomited out, will come out. You'll be left.
Where does science fall in?
I told you right from the very beginning. Again, this is
about science for application, but science simply going.
I don't know the answer. You're right. You're asking a really tough question. This is a very abstract, because on the other hand, I can show you Tel Amari Chazal. Let's say just the opposite. That there's an advantage of studying sciences, of studying all chokhmah. For example, the menorah. The menorah has seven branches, and according to many of the commentators, according to the Midrashim, the seven branches refer to the seven branches of wisdom, whatever they may be. And the center branch is Torah, and the other six branches are all other forms of chokhmah in this world, the sciences. And all science all comes is geared, they all point to the Torah, the center branch, which is the Torah. So you see, there is value in studying science and being knowledgeable in these things. So the Torah, what it means is philosophy. Philosophy is not considered from the sciences. I don't even really know what philosophy is anymore today. Today, who studies philosophy today?
No, what? Medical students have to get it. That's true.
Okay, this is something. It's not a very popular field today. Can't make a lot of money being a philosopher. But okay, I just pointing out. This is a very big debate. Again, this really goes back 700-800 years. The Rambam seemed to be very tolerant.
Or even a philosophy himself.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying the Rambam appears to have been very tolerant of philosophy. and things outside. I don't know all of the great details. And this triggered a lot of resentment among other members of Klal Yisrael, which led to a very great machlokes between the European Jews and the Sephardic Jews. And there was the burning, I mean, the part of the burning of the Talmud, right? The burning of the Talmud took place in the same place where they burned the Rambam's Gemara Nevuchim.
Right, but it was a fight among the northern and south.
The north, right.
And southern.
The Bali Tayyip themselves.
From South Germany and North Germany had a machlaikas in.
And if you study Chazal, you go through Midrashim, you're going to find different Maimari Chazal, which are in disagreement, which is very common. Not every Maimari Chazal is in agreement with each other. There are different types of people. People are wired differently. But this is a Maimari Chazal which clearly supports the Tzad, those people that are very pure, that do not tolerate any allowance of any secular thoughts into your mind. It couldn't be clearer than this. The pasuk is a takeoff on Kili Olam Hili. Torah is Li Olam. There's nothing but Torah. Quotes the pasuk from Shlomo. Quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. It interprets the pasuk in a novel way that Devash is Torah. And the word Tispoenu means to try to bring more satisfaction, means bringing in other types of wisdom. It's going to harm you. It's going to cause you to vomit the small amount of Torah that you have acquired. It gives a mashal. The mashal is a container of honey. If you pour water into a container of honey, what happens? The water is not what falls off. The water sinks. The honey is what is purged. The same amount of water that you put into a full container of honey, that amount of honey is going to spill off the top.
Is that scientifically true?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we have different types of honey. There are different types of honey. I don't know. I was wondering the same thing.
We're going to have a experiment.
It's not like we have real honey. Our honey today is everything. You know, everything we have today is not pure.
I mean, there are opinions across the spectrum.
I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not coming to tell you. I just want to point out this pasuk, this very interesting medrash, which is a very famous pasuk that we're familiar with. Kili Olam Hili. We say this pasuk in every single siyum. David HaMelech is saying that I have become wiser than my enemies. How have I become wiser than my enemies? Because I engaged in Chochmah, the Chochmah of Torah, and I didn't just engage in Chochmah of Torah, Kili Olam Hili. So we interpret that simply, it's Torah is forever. It's going to be with me in Olam Haba. It's going to be with me in Tchias HaNesem. No, that's not the way the Medrash interprets it. The Olam he means it's there's nothing but Torah. If you have a free moment in time, only spend that time learning Torah. Don't spend that time learning philosophy. Really? Is that what the Pasuk means? That's a novel interpretation. Well, that's what this Medrash says. And it supports it by quoting this Pasuk here in Mishlei, which also, in the way the Medrash interprets it, is in a novel way, that if you go take some honey, and you take some water, you put some water into a bucket of honey, there's a conflict. Which one is going to win? The water is going to win. The honey is going to spill out. You put in your head some philosophy, the Torah in your head is going to spill out. Okay, just take it for what it's worth. This is just an interesting medrash on this pasuk. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin says, "Don't be too friendly. If you have a friend, Hokar Raglucha mi beis riyacha. Hokar is lashon of heaviness. Heaviness. You should don't walk into the home of your friend too often. If you become familiarity breeds contempt. Is that the expression?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Familiarity breeds contempt. If you're too friendly with your with someone, he's going to come white pen yispa." He'll come to have enough of you. He'll be satisfied with you. And will come to hate you. The more you know a person, the more you hate them. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in matters of
that's exactly
what it says. That's exactly what it says. Familiarity breeds contempt. And this is the difference between human beings and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Ruchnias, the closer you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you're filled with love, with fear, with awe. The closer you come to a human being, you're always going to discover imperfections and you're going to have less and less respect. People who are very talented, even politicians, they have the ability to do so. They maintain their distance. And maintaining distance is not just gaiva, it maintains a certain respect. if you don't have the right to walk into the Oval Office every day, then maybe then I'm off limits. Then that creates a certain degree of respect. And that's what it says here. Don't come into your friend's home too often. He'll have enough of you. Usneicha will come to hate you. Let's see the mitzvah starved pasuk in Zion. Hoikar kain asay raglecha yikarim vechashuvim. You shall make your feet precious, heavy and precious. So what does that mean? Heavy and precious. A metaphor. Mibli yavol toder beveisreicha. It will be too expensive, too difficult to enter into the home of your home of your friend. Why? Why should you do this? Kipen yispa mimaris panecha. If you come into his home every single day, he'll be satisfied. He'll get used to seeing you, the Yimsa Isra, and will find you, the Yimsa Isra, and he'll be satisfied of seeing you and finding you. I think the Yisra goes back and goes on the words of the Yimsa Isra. He'll be satisfied from what you look like and from coming in contact with you. If you only visit your friend occasionally, and when you continuously are in his presence, you ruin the first love. They actually say, as I said, familiarity breeds contempt. And you know, they actually say this. I read this, and I've heard this from people that are in shidduchim. That when they're chosen kala, don't hang out too much. You're stuck. After you're married, you're stuck. Then yes, there's nothing you can possibly do. It's good after you're married also, by the way, not to be home too much. But certainly when you're engaged, because you have a way out. In sickness and but not for lunch. I never heard that. It's fantastic. In sickness and in health, but not for lunch. Okay, this is something which is there's definitely a lot of truth to this, that during the time of Chosen Kala, stand down, back off a little bit. Don't get too comfortable, because it's inevitable that you're going to have second thoughts. Do I really want to spend my life with this person? So once you already reach that stage, then hoikar rag lucha mi beis rei echa. The Satan Rav used to certainly say, he said, katzti bechayai. Well, that was even in dating. Yeah. That was even before you get engaged. This idea is really, really before you, after you get engaged. But the katzti bechayai mipnei binos chetz. Rivka said to Yitzchak, I don't want him to marry binos chetz. I want him to go marry from Canaan. Let him go back to Aram Naharaim. Katzti bechayai mipnei binos chetz. The Sad Merav chetz is eight. Chetz. That 8 dates. These Litvish boys, they go out 8 times before they get engaged. So Rav Bick said back to him, you're a Masader Kedushin. I'm a Masader Gitin. Halavai, they should go out 8 times. They should be absolutely certain before they enter into marriage.
My friend gave me advice before I got married, and he said that you shouldn't go too long on the honeymoon right away. He made the mistake. They were both in teaching, and they were off for the summer. They got married at the end of June, and they went to Israel, and they spent 8-9 weeks together on vacation. He said by the 5th or 6th week, they were throwing things at each other. So he's too close too soon.
How many kids do
you have? No, and I already married at least 45 years.
Okay, Rashi connects Pasuk Yud Zayin. Familiarity breeds contempt. Stay out of the house. Stay out of the house. Okay, Pasuk, let's see Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin is a continuation of Pasuk Yud Zayin according to Rashi. Just like in the previous Pasuk we mentioned, if a person finds honey, v'hu masuk l'chikeich, it is delicious to the palate. Don't eat too much of it, because if you're satisfied, v'hak or so, you will vomit it out. Cain. So Pasuk Yud Zayin is teaching you exactly the same principle. If you have a friend, so the friend is someone that you love, he's delicious, you like to spend time with him, but don't spend too much time with him. He's from your close ones, someone that you adore very much. You shall hold yourself from going there. He'll get too much of you, he'll hate you. Well, the Indian midrash, okay, that's the pshuta shel mikra. What here? What is the drush? Well, the Indian midrash, al tehi ragel lachtoi shaygeg. Don't get into the habit of doing averus b'shoygeg. V'lohavi tamid chatois v'ashamos lebeis Hashem, and to bring korbanos in the beis hamikdash chatos, sin offerings. The base Hashem shenikra rea li Yisrael. Hashem is called our friend. Siv zedodi v'zerei. And this medrash is paralleled in many places. And what it means is that it's a very nice thing. Shalosh pa'am b'ashana yirechol zuchurchas pnei Hashem. Last week's parasha. 3 times a year are we required to go to the base Hamidash. Before you go further, you can right away take this Farm Chazal and apply it to the base Hamidash. We all know that when you come to the base Hamidash, the place where you enter is not the gate that you exit. When you walk in the Beis Hamikdash, you walk in from one side and you walk out on the other side. Why? Because you should not get too familiar with the Beis Hamikdash. When you come to the home of your friend, who is here is your friend? Hashem is your friend. Don't feel like you are ben bayis in the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is a place of awe, and to maintain that awe, you have to be unfamiliar with the Mikdash. Don't enter and exit the same exit. You have to entrance. And the entrance and exit have to be different in order that you should feel that you're just a visitor here, and that will maintain your awe. But more than that, the Medrash says that when you do come 3 times a year, don't get in the habit of bringing a carbon chatas. It's not a good thing that every time you come to the Beis Hamikdash, oh, I did this avera, that avera, I was mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, I was not nizer in harayis b'shogeg. I was Baba Shaykh on an HSH. Okay. Well, there's no karma for that. There's no karma. Chalev, okay, Chalev. Okay, Chalev, yeah, I worked at McDonald's. I had some Chalev. This was an accident. I was driving by. There was a drive site. No, you know, what's the difference? Kosher Delight closed down, so I went into McDonald's all the same. I didn't realize Chalev. And I come to the Beis Hamikdash, and once I come, I bring my karbanos. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you. That's not a good idea. Exactly. So that's what it says over here. When you come up with the Gemara, now the Gemara, the Rashi is quoting the bare bones of this Medrash, but the Medrash says, what do you mean? But it says in the Pasuk, Shalosh Pam Bashana Yeroeh Kol Zuchorcha. The Pasuk says, Hashem wants you to come. When you come, you're supposed to bring karbanos. So the Medrash says, here you bring oilois, gift offerings, oilois, shlomim, nedavos, but not chatois va'ashamos. Sin offerings, that's not a good habit, and that is really applied from this pasuk. When you come to the Beis Hamikdash, it should be expensive. You should view it as, I don't want to come here to the house of my friend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zedodi v'Zerei, to be in a state where I need to bring kabbalas, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hate you. Hashem is going to have hatred for you. Why do you sin? Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches Mefitz V'Cherev V'Chet Shonon Ish Oinev V'Re'ehu Eid Shaka. Here is a pasuk Chuzkor by the Chofetz Chaim. Often in Hilchos Lashon Hara, here there are 3 different types of weapons. There's a Mefitz. A Mefitz is like a sledgehammer. Okay, that's what it's interpreted. You want to do demolition, you go upstairs, watch them do construction, there's a sledgehammer. A cherev is a sword. A sword is a sharp sword used in war. A chetz is an arrow. A chetz shonun is one term. A chetz shonun is sharp. A sharp arrow. Sharpened arrow. Ish, these 3 different types of weapons are a mashal for the harm a person can do with his speech. Ish, Oine very ehu eid shock. A person testifies against his friend falsely. Here it's interpreted by the Balei Mus. It doesn't just mean to testify in the court in front of a judge. It means to speak. Every time a person says something harmful to you, even to anyone, you're testifying. That's what you're doing. Or behind closed doors, or at home, you're saying, "This person, I hate him. He did this. He did that." Lashon hara is a form of testimony, and certainly when it's shocker, when it's exaggerated, it's embellished, it's not 100% true, and it can equivalent to three different types of harmful tools. A mafetz, a sledgehammer. Sledgehammer causes very great chorban, the destruction. You can destroy a person's property. You destroy a person's assets. A sledgehammer is used in construction, in binyan. Person has wealth, has property, has reputation. You destroy his assets. That is the mafetz. The cherev. The cherev is you destroy him. Is his sword, you stab, you kill him. He's dead. He has nothing more to live for. But a cherev is a tool that's used in proximity to the victim. Short range. A chetz, shanun, a sharpened arrow is long. You can send it to the other end of the world. Technology, email. The other end of the world, you can cause a person very great harm. And that's the three mishalim that are given by the Midrashim and the Balei Mus, these three different types of tools. Let's see the mitzudos of it. Pasuk Yitches, Meifetz, Hameid Bechaver. He's jumping to the end of the pasuk to read the pasuk backwards. A person testifies against his friend, Eidos Sheker. Horgoy Belashayna, he kills him with his long kichli karav, like weapons, like the three weapons mentioned here in this pasuk. Rashi, Pasuk Yudches, Meifetz, Vecherev, Shem Kli Milchama. These are different types of weapons used in war. I translate mefitz as a hatchet, which Rashi, maybe it could be Rashi, it's not saying Rashi, saying it's different, it's a different type of weapon used in war. Okay, there are different interpretations for these tools, but the idea is all the same. Let's see, okay, now, yeah? Okay,
it's like a ball and mace. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to there are none. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yotesh Shein Roah Viregel Muodes Miftoch Boyge Biyom Tsara. The marshal here is a faulty tooth, a bare tooth. Person has Rachman Lutzlan. A bad tooth needs to go to the dentist for some root canal. You're not going to chew on that tooth until you take care of it. It's a shein roa, a bad tooth, a regel odes, a broken foot. A broken foot is not going to get you to your destination. Likewise, miftoch bogeid biyom tzara, a person who is a deceiver, who is unfaithful. What's a good word for a bogade? A person, a traitor. Is the promise of a traitor, biyom tzara, on a day that you need him. On a day of tzara, when a person is in a matzah of an eighth tzara, and you need help, and you go to a person, and you don't know that secretly he's a traitor. He's not, he's a bogade, he's a liar, a traitor. And he says, "Don't worry, I will take care of it. I will take care of your problem." He promises you he'll take care of it, and you don't realize that he's just secretly lying to you. This person is equivalent to a faulty tooth and a broken leg. Let's see the mitzudos pasuk yetes. Shein roa kimo shein hanishbar be'es yitchoin boy hamachla, tooth that breaks when you grind your food. Person is chewing his food. He's chewing his food, so he's using the tooth to break down the food. And what happens? The tooth breaks, cracks, and so it's no longer functional. Uchmo regel hashemetes umechalekes be'es yaretz, a leg, a person's leg that cracks, breaks, or slips out of its joint at a time when he is running baderech. It has not helped me. I relied upon this foot to get me to my destination. I have relied upon this tooth to break down my food, and it has not come through. It has faltered. So too came, so too, whom miftach haboyged, the promise of a traitor, Bevo es tzara, if a person is in a difficult situation, v'hi hu es hatzarech, and it is a time, el habitachon, it is a time when a person needs assistance, he needs someone to promise that he will assist him, v'boigeid oz, bo, and this person rebels, he rebels and he betrays this individual, k'shem v'rega, like the tooth and the foot of this example, habaydim be'es hatzarech, which have betrayed a person at his time of need. And I think what it's really trying to allude is that a tooth and a foot, it's part of you. You would never expect this to happen. A person's own body, his own teeth, his own body parts, this is part of you. You never would expect these parts of your body to betray you. So too, a person who is unfaithful has that same degree, the same frustration, and the same degree of disappointment. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Yitesh Shein Roa Ritzutza. Ritzutza means it's a shaky tooth. Mu'edes, to falter. Kimo v'lo mo'adu kar suloi, my feet did not falter. Hashem, you have protected me, you have guided me, you have strengthened me, and you did not allow my feet mo'adu. Mo'adu means to be dislodged, and to be unfaithful, to falter. Miftach bo'eged michzav. What's miftach? The lie. Michzav bo biyom tsaraso keshen ritzutza muedes, like a tooth that is ritzutza muedes and the foot that is muedes. Ritzutza means shaky, broken. Ritzutza is broken or shaky. Okay, so this is
nobody uses this pasuk to talk about Shane Varegel.
Interesting, very interesting. Shane Varegel and the Bava Kamma. Shane Varegel.
Roa could mean grazing.
Shane Roa, a tooth that's grazing. Varegel Muadas.
I don't know how you fit the rest of the pasuk in, but
why these two? Interesting idea. Shane and Regal. Good point. I didn't think of that. I don't know.
Tom is only by a Karen, right?
Well, Chatzi Nezik is only by Karen. Tzroyros. Chatzi Nezik Tzroyros. Yeah, but that's unusual. That's Be'itza. That's kicking. But a regular, when an animal walks, so it's shame. So these are. So what you're trying to say is that it's natural. Why is the halacha that when it comes to shame vehicle, the balabais is chayy for damages that the animal incurs through eating and through walking? Because these are things that are common. This is something which is natural. So here as well, it's natural for a person to rely upon a friend. A friend, it's an ace tzara. It's only natural I should come to you and you should assist me. And you betrayed me.
Yeah,
you betrayed me?
When you need help, it's natural that everyone you rely on.
Oh, but it means the disappointment, the sense of betrayal. Betrayal is only when you have expectations. If you have someone, he's going to help me, I have no expectation. Many times you see people don't come through for you.
Right.
I never, it was a one in a million. I went to you, I thought maybe one in a million, but I'm not disappointed because I really didn't have faith that you can do anything for me anyway. But when you feel hurt when you have expectations, somewhere a blood relative, a spouse, a child, a brother, parent, these are people that you really have an expectation. When they don't come through for you, you feel a sense of betrayal. So perhaps what Rabbi Nechemiah is saying very, very, very deep is that we're giving over the illustration of Shane Varegel, and we can take insight from Sugya in the Torah of Shane Varegel. These are things which are described in the Torah as being 100% natural for the animal to do, and that is why the Balabais has to be on guard that his animal should not course, not allow them to pasture, to graze, and to step on other people's property because it's so natural. So we see from the Torah that these are the most natural things that a person, parts of a person, of an animal and of a person, for that matter, and therefore that's when you feel the greatest sense of betrayal, because when you have the greatest degree of expectation and these things do not come true for you, then there is a very great disappointment. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk chaf. Ma'adeh beged biyom koro choymeitz al noser v'shor bashirim al levra. It's a complex pasuk. As we mentioned last time, yesterday, these pasukim over here, they may have more parts. Now there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Mitzudos. According to Rashi, the word ma'adeh means a piece of jewelry. As we had yesterday, what was the pasuk in Kisisa? Remove your hoser, hoser edicha me'olecha. Edicha, ayin dalet. Hored edicha me'olecha. Ayin dalet is a word for a jewelry. So here we have here ma'adeh beged. These two words are to be connected. It means a garment that's beautiful. The garment itself is a piece of jewelry. It's an exquisite, garment, an expensive suit. But it's a cold day. It's not going to help you when you're in Greenland, when you're in Alaska, or when you're in the middle of the winter and it's 20 degrees below zero and you're wearing a Hugo Boss summer suit. Okay, it cost $1,000. I'm sure there's a lot more expensive things. Zenia, is that's a more expensive suit? Anyone familiar with couple of grand? What's an expensive suit? Hugo Boss is probably a sales by now, right? Okay, whatever they are, a person that's expensive, an expensive suit, but it's material is not warm. It's a summer suit. If you're going to wear a suit that's worth $10,000 in the middle of the winter, outdoors, when it's 20 degrees below zero, it's not going to do you anything. It may be a fashion statement when you're indoors in the summertime, you're in a ballroom. But when it's a biyom korah, a cold winter bitter day, no one cares that you're wearing a $5,000 suit. The only thing you care about is that you are warm, and it's not going to help you. So that's how the Mitzvah interprets. The next part is choymetz al noser. Noser is earth, neter, a certain type of ingredient, a certain type of a soft earth, a clay. Chemates is vinegar. Vinegar is not going to have any effect on noser. Okay, I'm not a chemist, but these two ingredients don't. Neter, it's used. They use this compound from the ground. They extract this substance from the ground called neter, and they use it as an ingredient in different things for soap. Choymetz, now I'm not familiar with this concept, but vinegar al noser does not accomplish anything. It seems that they would pour vinegar onto the ground in order to stimulate the earth, in order to open up the earth, to crack open the earth. Strong vinegar was used to open up, to prepare the earth for planting or for plowing or for some function. But if the earth is not of the correct form, it's noser, the chemates will accomplish nothing. So these two, we'll see in more detail in the Mitzvah what this means, but these... Laundry, that's what you said, cleansing. It's a certain type of earth, a certain type of clay. It's a clay that's very hard. Lime? I don't know.
They make a lye from it.
Okay, lye? Okay, whatever it is. Lime? It's a certain type of clay which is very hard, which is used as a cleaning agent, and it does not mix well with chemates. Vinegar does not have any effect on noser. Vinegar has an effect on soft earth. Soft earth, vinegar opens up, it breaks open, it softens. But chemetz does not have any effect on noser. So what is the nimshul? The nimshul is v'shar bashirim al levra. If a person is depressed, clinically depressed, and you take him to a concert, and you tell him to listen to the beautiful music, it doesn't have any effect. It doesn't have any. When a person is in a matzav of a levra, a heart of Ra, which is subject to much interpretation, will now very loosely translate this as a serious depression. You want to call it clinical depression, maybe, whatever it is. It's a very serious state of depression, and you're going to sing lullabies. It's not going to make any havoc. Song, music is good to enhance a person who already is in a state of joy, or a person who wants to be in a state of joy. But a person who wants to be depressed, is depressed, singing a nice beautiful song will not pull him out of his depression. Just like a summer suit is not going to help you on a bitter cold day, and chometz is not going to soften this hard earth called noser. Let's see the mitzvah stuff. Pasuk Chof. Ma'adeh. What's ma'adeh? Kimo hamale al gufay beged mikushot. Okay, so Rashi is clearly, Mitzudas clearly defines the word ma'adeh to mean beautiful, a stunning, exquisite, gorgeous garment, biyom kara, on a day that's bitter cold, the nechut hu lamare, lamare ha'ayin, it may be beautiful to look at, aval in b'zeh shum to'elas lohagin me'akar, but a nice summer suit's not going to help you from the cold. Uchamo, that's example number one. Example number two, uchamo, ha'shefei choymetz. A person pours vinegar al neser. What does that mean? Shebavur rakois haneser. I'm not sure with this chemical reaction. Due to the softness. Neser, I told you it's hard. I made a mistake. It's not hard, it's soft. The softness of the neser. The chizek hachoymetz. And the intensity of the vinegar. Yustuk sedoke mimal. It's going to make cracks. It's going to make cracks on the surface of this material. Avolo yugbar koich hachoymetz l'chal koich halokim. It will not crack it open. Somehow chometz works to crack open hard earth. That's what chometz does. But the earth has to be a certain type of earth. An earth that is neser, does due to its chemical composition, does not react to the intensity of the vinegar. Period. Cain, likewise, the nimshel is hu hashor b'shire simcha. Alev nishbar, hamalei lo tuga, a heart that is filled with sorrow, a person in a state of mourning, is listening to beautiful music, it's not going to have any effect. Ki af im yiftach piv lemalei sechog, even if the person momentarily opens up his mouth, and he smiles, and he laughs, and he appears on the surface to be happy, mikol mokoyim hatsar shomur belibo veloy holachlo, a person is in an intense state of mourning, and the tsar will not disappear with a nice little song. Now Rashi learns the pasuk a little bit differently. Rashi says, "Ma'adeh beged biyom kara, beged adim." Now, what does it mean, a beger adim? Rashi says, a beger adim. What is that word? Rashi is translating for us. Beged musar kli, a beged that has been removed from the status of a utensil. In other words, he took it off the rack. Take it off the rack. Take it out of the closet. Throw it in the garbage. It's not called a garment. It's a shmata. You call this a suit? You call this a jacket? What are you wearing? That's called a shirt? That's not a shirt. That's a shmata. That's a rack. So ma'ade, according to Rashi, means removal. It has been like to falter, like the previous pasuk. Shein ro'ah v'regel mu'odes in the previous pasuk. A foot that falters. A foot that is dislodged from its socket. It's a kli, it's a garment that has been removed, dislodged, shifted from its status of being called a garment. Because it's a piece of garbage. It's been withered. It's been worn out. Beged adim, beged musa kli, shehu roi lahasira me'olav, it's fit to be removed from your back. Lefi shu boloi, it's worn out. Where do I find the makar? Where do I find the source that the word ma'adeh means worn out? Kidim mitargeminon vayosar, to remove. When it says in the pasuk, I'm sure we were quoting from vayadi. You see that same shorish in Aramaic ayin dalet. Vezep hisroina. So how does that fit into this pasuk? Beged baloi harehu biyom kara. It means a worn out garment on a cold day. So in other words, not talking about over here of an exquisite, gorgeous Hugo Boss summer suit on a winter day outdoors. We're talking about a coat, but the coat is worn out. It's all the feathers have come out of the lining. All it's a shmata. It's no longer functional. And what else? Is kechoymeitz, is like vinegar al neser, neter. What is neter? Min adam arachat, soft earth. For example, adam shalanu, hanikra karida, v'hayuchoyke kemoysa, they would etch, they would carve out some of this earth, v'hoysim kelim, and they make out of this earth utensils. V'im yipul b'choymeitz me masmeso v'nishchas. Okay, so here he's learning also, not like Rashi, he's thinking of, he's talking about utensils made from neser. Utensils made from neser basically get, if they get wet, they melt. You only can use it for for limited things. Use it whatever you use it for, but you don't want to get in contact with liquid.
Here, it's
probably acidic. So acidic, so it ruins it. So if this neter vinegar comes in contact with this type of neter, the utensil dissolves. Likewise, so according to the parish of the Mitzrashi, we have completely two different mishalim. Rashi is very different than the Mitzudos. The mishalim that Rashi are giving are very different. So to af shor b'shirim alev ra, a person sings songs upon a person who has a lev ra. Doime l'shneim is similar to both of the mishalim we mentioned above. Umahu shor b'shirim. Now Rashi quotes over here the Medrash. Okay, Rashi, after he tells us the Pshat, he tells us over here some homiletics. Umahu shor b'shirim. What does it mean you're singing? V'ata kisvul chenes hashira hazos. You're teaching Torah. A Rebbe is gathering for himself Talmidim, and he's teaching them Torah. And these Talmidim have no desire to learn. They have no interest. And in fact, they have a lave ra. They have a bad heart. They only want to use the Torah as a tool to cause harm. So Zeham Lamed Torah LeTalmid Rasha. Asher ain belibo l'kaim, has no intent to fulfill what it says in the Torah. So the marshal is, you try to teach Torah to a Talmud that's not fit. It's like you're putting on the Talmud a shmata on a winter day. It's like you're taking a utensil, a person, it's a klisharis, and you're taking vinegar and you're smearing it on the utensil. You're going to cause the utensil to dissolve. You're going to ruin him. You're going to ruin him, or you're not going to. You see, it's very interesting. According to Parish of Rashi, in the first interpretation, you're not causing a person harm. Rashi's first interpretation, what are you doing? It's a freezing cold day, and you're not wearing a coat. You're going outside in your pajamas. A beggar that's baloi. So, any harm done? No harm is done. The person is cold. But I didn't cause him any harm. In the second example, You've caused him harm. You have a beautiful kli. It's a beautiful utensil. It's made from neter. It's very delicate. If you smear it with vinegar, you're going to destroy it. So Rashi's second mashal, it's not just that you're causing harm by teaching such a Talmud, teaching a Talmud Torah. Okay, the one quick medrash, the medrash of here when it talks about the madeh beged biyom kara, it refers to Madeh. The Medrash learns like a Rashi. Like Rashi, that it means to remove a garment biyom kora. Kora means from the word of calling out. Like he asu vagidu lechem esa sheyikra eschem, or kora means what's going to happen. What's going to happen, what's going to call out. With an aleph, it would mean to call out. The Medrash says in this context we can change the hey for an aleph. I'll show you why in a moment. Or it can mean simply, kara means on the day that when the event happened. Biyom kara, not a cold day. And this refers to the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, or the time of the Churban Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Bayis Rishon, he removed from Klal Yisrael two garments. The big day Malchus and the big day Kohuna. With the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the garments of Malchus and Kohuna were removed. Ma'adeh beget, the removal of a garment. What garment? Two garments, the Medrash says. The Yom Kara occurred on the day of Kara, the day of happening. The day when Hashem decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the day of Tishra, and the Churban is always described as a hasterponim. It appears because HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his Hashkach HaPratis, the Anochi Haster Hasterponai, it appears that events happen by chance. When Hashem removed his hashkacha, it appears that it's just chance that Hashem has removed the garment. And then it says, another Medrash concludes, Choymeitz al Neser, Chaimetz is an indication for the rest. And this means, oh, look who's here. The Kapichnitz is here. Shalom Aleichem. What? Okay, Shalom Aleichem, special guest. Wow. Okay, let's finish over here. Chaimetz al Neser, according to the Medrash, it refers to Yeravam ben Nevat. Now, this is a very interesting idea. The Gemara gives a mashal. The mashal here is as follows: a person goes into his basement to inspect wine, like the first Mishnah, in Pesachim, came all the picture books of how many barrels you have to check. You have to check the chametz, the top two rows, the bottom two rows, the whole story. You go in and you check the top barrel. Open up the barrel and you smell the wine. It's vinegar. The wine has spoiled.
Putrid,
no good. Okay, let's check another barrel of wine. Open up the second barrel, stinks. It's vinegar. The wine has spoiled. So what do you do? Just like when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, this is an indication that all of the barrels are spoiled. Chametz, instead of translating the word noser, as we've done in the pair, as we've done according to all interpretations, as neter, as a compound that comes from the earth, we translate as noisar, on the remainder. And chaimetz is vinegar, that's the same. If you go and you make an inspection and you discover there's a small amount of psoilas, of chaimetz, it's an indication al noisar. On everything else is garbage. And the Medrash interprets this in reference to Yeravam ben Nevat. Once Yeravam ben Nevat, he set up the Egle Hazav, these two calves in Basel and Don, Hashem already gave up hope on Klal Yisrael. It's a shocking chazal. He gave up hope. Hashem said, I'll read you the words, Kach Mishachotu Yisrael Be'egle Yeravam, Yeravam ben Nevat, which was not much longer after David HaMelech. David, Shlomo, Rechavam, at the time of Rechavam, Yeravam ben Nevat, towards the beginning of the Malchus, he already made the Egle Hazav. Acha Shekvar Chotu Be'egel, so this already was the second time. First was the Egel Hazav, and now Yeravam ben Nevat set up another set of golden calves. So it's already Chaimetz. Shuv lo himtim lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shuva. Hashem already gave up on Klal Yisrael. He didn't expect they would ever do tshuva, and the process of Golus already began at the time of Yeravam ben Nevat. It was a slow and steady downhill. The Higle Oysam, and ultimately Hashem exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. The Zel Perish Chaimetz al Neser. Sheha Chaimetz Heid al Hanoisar. The small amount of vinegar, which was the vinegar of the Chet Egel, and was the chet of the Egle Hazav of Yeravam ben Nevat, was an indication that there would be no hope for Klal Yisrael, and Hashem would have to bring a Churban and start all over again. So, okay, that's a... And also, I left out one point, that when it says over here, B'yom Korah, the Medrash says, don't read the word Korah with a hey on the day when it happened, but read it with an Aleph. And why an Aleph? In reference to the eagle, it says, they called out to the Eila Elohecha Yisrael. When they referred to the eagle, it was done with a kriya, with a calling. When they worshipped the eagle, they said, they called out, Vayikra, Eila Elohecha Yisrael. That's maybe why Vayavar Hashem al Pana Vayikra. Vayikra is Zelu Mazeh, according to the Medrash, is the calling that Bnei Yisrael used for Avodah Zorah. The tshuva has to be Be'osim Lokoim Be'osim Dovar. According to the Medrash, is the sin was the calling, and that's how it interprets the pasuk over here. Ma'ade Beged Biyom Kora. Hashem took away from Klal Yisrael the big day Kohuna, the big day Malchus, on the day when they called out to the Egel, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. Chaimetz, this spoiling was an indication al noser for the noisar, for the remainder of Klal Yisrael, that there's no hope, that we're in a lot of trouble, and v'shor b'shim al levra. And now the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, and we explained before that singing songs, maybe you want to say v'shor b'shirim, doesn't say this, but maybe it refers to b'cholos, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from Har Sinai, he heard the Klal Yisrael, they were dancing and singing. They were singing, and when they were singing with a levra, with an evil heart, Ela Elohecha Yisrael. So even though it doesn't say that in the Medrash, but it seems to fit well into the pasuk that the singing was Vayar Esha. As what's the pasuk say?
Like,
the dancing. So the dancing was accompanied with song. All right, we will stop over here. All right, the kids of Shulchan Aruch, I think, is in the back, right? It's probably in the back bench.
Yeah.
You took it out? Okay. What?
Melech was he went to dance with him. With his mother, he had
Amoin, Menashe's son. He entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
He was singing in bad songs in the
Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Doesn't say that he was singing. He says he was ba. Yeah, the relations, marital relations.
No? Because he goes up with Madrega. The first is a cloth, which is a mamashis, that you can really use. Then he goes into a liquid, which he pours out.
Then he goes into song.
Then he goes
into song. Very nice. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Shalom Aleichem.
I missed that person.
What's the?
They switched the shirim around so we came.
Okay, Gevalvik. Look, I have you and Yishai. I have you and Avram Yishai Heschel.
You're not going to look at the Ated this week.
What's in the Ated? A blazer?
No, us.
Who? Who?
Me and the Rossi.
Yeah?
I don't get the Ated. Avromi.
Avromi.
I have a rival. Shmuel Ryan and Yosef. I was drunk.
L'chaim. That's you. That's you saying L'chaim. That's you. That's him. It's the Kapitschnitzer.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn. Okay, Rabbi, say. All right, let's go. Let's learn.